How to cope with grown-ups. Grown-ups were always perfect when they were young. E.g.,
when I was a boy, I would not have dared to speak to my father like that.
Well, you know what this means, because obviously this is what really happened to your pater. Scene: an old stone breakfast table about 1066 A.D. Your pater, then known as Little Cedric, is sitting down to his groats, poor little dear, when the old man, Horrible, arrive, breathing through his beard. Horrible, rubbing his hands.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What? Mammoth again?
Spouse.
It's very nice, my dear. Shall I pour you your beer?
Horrible.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Cedric.
Cedric. Your booing sucks. Spouse.
Do not speak to your father like that, Cedric, or you will go straight to your cave. Have you finished your groats?
Cedric. Yes, Mama. Spouse.
Then get on with your egg, and stop playing with the Brontosaurus at breakfast.
Horrible.
Yes, stop playing with the Bronto.
A pause. While Horrible opens the newspaper and the Brontosaurus springs across the table. Horrible.
We are losing the test match, Cedric. Gaul have made 2,900 for two.
Cedric. So what? Horrible.
I only.
Cedric. You are a silly old man who couldn't lift a cucumber. The Brontosaurus springs at Horrible's plate and eats his mammoth. In despair, Horrible go to the office. So, you see how it was. Maters have a different approach, and they are very keen on manners, etc., which include not throwing bungy, making lakes of treacle in the porridge, flicking bread pellets at Molesworth 2, grabbing the sugar, slashing gravy rivers through potatoes, reading the back of your pater's Times, imitating a baboon, striking your next-door neighbour, etc., etc. In fact, you are expected to be exactly like Wee Tim, especially when Mater's great school friend, Mabel Entwistle, Prothero that was, pay a visit with her tiny daughter. Chiz, chiz, chiz. On that morning, all boys, cats, dogs, parrots, sparrows and owls are turned into the garden, while house is polished and Mabel Entwistle's photo is brought out of the box room. Boys glue their noses against the windows and are finally admitted. Do not the house look lovely, Nigel? Say your mater.
But it never looked like this, really. It is just an empty facade.
Okay, say your mater. But let's keep it that way, see? Otherwise there's liable to be trouble. Look at your knees. Procedure. Ho to the bathroom, out flannel and wipe, getting most off. Brush front of hair and leave back. Gaze in mirror at your strange, unnatural beauty. Report, hopefully. Back again. Scrub nails, leave tap running and soap in bottom of basin. Say, look at ickle pretty, to Molesworth too, who have to put on blue corduroys. Cheers, 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 cheers. Report back and granted certificate of hygiene, first class honours. Also gold medal Antwerp exhibition, 1899. Pie jaw. Mater then give Pijor, e.g., now you will behave nicely, won't you, Nigel, and you won't do what you did to Sicily last time. Oh, no, Mater, rather not. You promise? Oh, yes, and I will say nothing about her dolly either. And you will not shout, carve, carve, here they come, when they ring the bell. You will not repeat what Daddy say at breakfast about Mabel Entwistle, nor say, rice pud, ugh, at lunch. No, no, dearest Mama, perish the thought. You had better not, rat. The works. Mabel Entwistle arrived in a super car, a Bentley or Aston Martin, which show that Mr. Entwistle have a clue or two, which is more than Pop have. Women throw themselves into each other's arms like guided missiles.
Darling, darling,
cheese.
How lovely to see you after all these years.
Visitor then gaze about as if she have never seen anything more beautiful in the world in space.
How sweet your house is,
thinks a dump.
Nigel! This must be Nigel! What a good-looking boy, thinks
Ugg.
And your younger boy, how lovely!
If anyone can call Molesworth too lovely, you know she is telling a whopper. Even blue corduroy trousers do not make him into bubbles, not by a long chalk, so it show how empty and artificial, etc. Hem, hem. Enter Cicely Entwistle, your mater. Cicely, she's already a beauty. Such hair, such eyes, etc. Thinks, gosh, what a plain child. And so it go on. The lunch is cold, Molesworth too dropped the sprouts, Cicely can't eat the steak and all laugh. What screams children are, to be sure. Zoom out into the garden and Cicely follow. Little does she know, gay child, what is coming to her. Enough said. The maters jabber away until tea time, and at length the ghastly day is over. Uncles. Uncles are always very embarrassed when they see a small boy. We seem to make them nervous, and I'm not surprised. They ask a lot of feeble questions before they will hand over the routine half-crown. Chiz. Scene. A gilded drawing-room of great luxury. A small boy is lying upon the sofa, eating bullseyes and watching the television. Enter a flunky.
Your uncles are outside, sir.
Uncles, what a bore! But they cannot be a worse bore than the television. Let them be admitted. Enter 16 uncles with bald heads and spectacles. Uncles, in chorus.
How big you've grown, Nigel, since we last saw you.
Nigel. Of course I've grown bigger. You didn't expect me to grow smaller, did you, Klotz? Besides, I do not think you really care. Uncles.
You will soon be as tall as us.
Nigel. If I cannot grow taller than that, I will give up. He peels a banana. Proceed. Uncles.
If we all bend down, we can give you a piggyback.
Nigel. You think we boys like that, don't you? You think it makes you appear jolly. You will offer to play cricket with us now, I suppose. Uncles. Eagerly.
Yes, yes. If you bowl at us on the lawn, we will show off by hitting the first ball for six and losing it.
Nigel. As usual. That is a great joke.
Uncles. Yes, yes. To amuse you further, we will vault a five-bar gate. Or,
Nigel, shuddering, that is enough. Have you all got your half-crowns, eh? There's no need to say here is something for your money-box. Just put them in my hat when you go out. Uncles,
we will,
winking roguishly.
But before that, we must pat you on the head.
Nigel, no, no, I will take the will for the deed. And make it 5 bob next time. The cost of living is going up. Exit uncles, all wishing they were young again. And rightly, too. Ding-dong, fairly merrily, for Xmas. Xmas, all grown-ups say, is the season for the kiddies. But this do not prevent them from taking a tot or two from the bot and having, it may seem, a better time than us. For children, in fact, Xmas is often a bit of a strain. What with pretending that everything is a surprise. Above all, Father Xmas is a strain. You cannot so much as mention that there is no Father Xmas when some grown-ups say, "Hush, not in front of wee Tim." So far as I am concerned, if Father Xmas used language like that when he tripped over the bolster last time, we had better get a replacement. Christmas Eve. Hurrah for Xmas Eve! What a scurrying there was in the Molesworth household! Mr. Molesworth issued jovially with the hammer to hang the decorations. Mrs. Molesworth is in the kitchen, with the mince pies all rosy and shining, and judge of the excitement of the boys. In fact, it is a proper shambles. Pop, drop the hammer on the cat. In the kitchen, the Xmas pudding explode with a huge crash, and the cat spring up the curtains. Outside, the snow lie deep and crisp and etc., and Pop fall off the stepladder. Another thing about Xmas Eve is that your pater always reads The Xmas Carol by C. Dickens. You cannot stop this, actually. Though he'd pretend to ask you whether you would like it. He'd say, "Would you like me to read the Xmas Carol as it is Xmas Eve, boys?" We are listening to the space serial on the wireless, Daddy. But you cannot prefer that nonsense to the classic C. Dickens. Be quiet. He's out of control and heading for Jupiter. Father, thwarted, strike both boys heavily with loaded Xmas stocking and tie their hands behind their backs. He cart them senseless into the sitting room and prop both on his knees. Then he begin. The Xmas Carol by C. Dickens. Published by Grabber and Grabber. Then he rub his hands together and say, "You will enjoy this, boys. It is all about ghosts and goodwill. It is tip-top stuff. And there is an old man called Scrooge who hates Xmas and cannot understand why everyone is so merry." To this you say nothing, except that Scrooge is your favourite character in fiction next to Tarzan of the Apes. But you can say anything, chiz. Nothing in the world in space is ever going to stop those fatal words. Marley was dead. Personally, I do not care a D whether Marley was dead or not. It is just that there is something about the Xmas Carol which makes paters and grown-ups read with great expression. And this is very embarrassing for all. It is all right for the first part. They just roll the R's a lot. But wait till they come to Scrooge's nephew. When he say, "Merry Christmas, Uncle," it is like an H-bomb explosion. And so it go on until you get to Tiny Tim. Chiz, 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 he is a weed. When Tiny Tim say, "God bless us, everyone," your pater is so overcome, he burst out blubbing. By this time, boys have bitten through their ropes and made good their escape. So 90,000 million boos to Bob Cratchit. Xmas night. At last, the tiny fellows are tucked up snug in their beds, with three pillow slips awaiting Santa Claus. As the light go off, a horrid doubt assail the mind. E.g., supposing there is a Santa Claus, zoom about and lay a few traps for him. Determined to lie awake and get him, but go to sleep in the end, chiz, and dream of spaceships. While thus employed, something do seem to be happening among the Earthmen. Crash! Be quiet! You'll wake 'em up. Have you got the Meccano? His is the one with three oranges. If you drop that pedal car again, I shall scream. Where are the spangles? Can you not tie a knot, for heaven's sake? Etc., etc. It would seem that the Earthmen are up to something, but you are far too busy with the Treens who are defending the space palace with germ guns. So snore on, fair child. Snore on with thy innocent dreams, and do not get the blood all over you. The day. Xmas Day always start badly because Molesworth II blub. He have not got the real Rolls-Royce he asked for. We then have an argument that each have more presents than the other. In the end, I wear Molesworth II's cowboy suit and he play with my air gun, so all is quiet. Then comes dinner. This is super, as there are turkey, crackers, nuts, cream, plum pudding, jelly, and everything. Pater raps the table and looks vee solemn. He holds up his glass and say, in a low voice, "The Queen!" "Cheers, cheers, cheers for the Queen! We all drink and hurrah for England!" Then Pater say, in a much lower voice, "Absent friends." And everyone else say, "Absent friends. Absent friends. Absent friends, etc." And begin blubbing. In fact, it do not seem that you can go far at Xmas time without blubbing of some sort. Still, Xmas is a good time with all those presents and good food, and I hope it will never die out. Or at any rate, not until I am grown up and have to pay for it all. So, ho, skip, and away. The next thing, we shall be taken to Peter Pan for a treat. So brace up. Brace up.
Down with School and How to Be Top were written by Geoffrey Williams and abridged by Wendy Cope. It was read by Griff Rhys-Jones.